You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm okay. Been smoking my pipe quite a bit more than I had been. You know, that happens sometimes when you're immobilized from foolish foot injuries. So it's been nice. Yeah, it's been good. Just kind of hobbling around. And man, things are good around the old pipe shop. And everything's normal. Got up this morning about 2 a.m. because the baby couldn't sleep. And have been up since then. So everything's great, man. We're just doing great.
You're running off of coffee and fumes. I understand.
And
a spare tire on top.
Man, it's like I tell folks, if I could just get through this season without becoming an alcoholic, that'd be great. We're good. Everyone's healthy. You know, shop's doing good. Family's great. We're really, really tired.
Oh man, listen, I understand. And man, it's a tough time, but tough it out, man. It does get better. Your foot will heal, and your children will grow. Of this, I am very.
Did I tell you
sure.
about the lady? I may have mentioned this on air a couple weeks ago, but that lady in church, you know, she was like, "Oh, how's your family?" I told her. She's like, "Yeah, it's hard right now." And then it gets worse.
She probably got teenagers.
Exactly. That was it. She was, I was like, man, we're in church. You need to encourage me, you know? And she's like, nah.
This place for encouragement is a place for truth, too. So there you go.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
All right, man. We got a lot to do this episode. There's some things we need to talk about before we dive into it all. First things first, man. iTunes banning Country Squire Radio?
Yeah, what the heck, man? Like, get on Thursday. It's like, man, you got your Thursday routine. Hot new
Wednesday,
track.
Yes.
Country, Wednesday. Hot new track of CSR coming out. You're part of, you know, you're on your way to work and you're like, man, it's my time to catch up with, you know, JD and Bo and the whole CSR community and crickets, right?
Nothing. Now, this isn't for everybody, mind you. If you listen on Spotify, you were good. If you listen on Pocket Cast, then you were good. If you listen on, I mean, really almost, not even almost, literally, John David, every single podcast player out there was happy to serve up a beautiful bowl of Country Squire Radio, the conclusion of our How to Train Your Palate series. But no, this was the episode that Apple found not distribution worthy. It's the one they tried to shut us down, John David. We got banned. We got censored. Or there was a glitch in the system and it got resolved. But something happened.
The ghost of Steve Jobs. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. You know, we would love to just play up the whole have pity on us thing because we got censored. But what happened, Bo?
I mean, look, that's exactly right. I feel like, oh, y'all, this is a tobacco podcast. So, you know, they're trying to shut us down, you know, so, you know, get on Patreon and make sure that we don't get shut down. Like, no, I mean, like, hey, sure, we would love you to support us on Patreon. Absolutely. But not for this reason.
We don't
it was just a glitch.
Yeah.
It was just a glitch.
It was crazy, though, man. It was like midday on, I guess it was Thursday that I got on there and looked and that still hadn't been uploaded. So I guess we got it worked out or whatever. Like I said, the ghost of Steve Jobs took his finger off the mute button and, you know, just kind of filtered back into the ether. So
I think there were some other podcasts out there that were having some issues that day. So I don't think it was an isolated incident, but okay. it certainly was weird. We tried to fix it. People know because I think the message going out to everybody explaining there was an issue did go out to everybody, which was great. And by the way, shout out to everyone who emailed in both to point out that the episode wasn't going out and to point out when you did receive the episode. That was super helpful to me once we got the re-release out. And I tried to approach it from a couple different angles. It was very confusing because everything in the back end was showing that it should have gone out, but literally nobody was getting it. And I couldn't get it on any of our Apple devices here. So, of course, I'm team Android, but I do have some Apple devices for this exact situation. So we got it resolved. And, of course, that episode came out for our Apple listeners a little bit late. Wasn't our fault. Blame the Apple. There were worms in the Apple.
Yeah.
So there's that. Also, some bad news that had a happy ending. I got some good news, though, from this last past week.
Yeah.
From time to time, I get a package from a little store in Jackson, Mississippi called the Country Squire.
And when you get it, it just reeks. You know, it just smells like an ash can.
It smells like heaven, my friend. It smells like home. It's wonderful because as listeners make their pilgrimages or come by the shops or just in general, since we are kind of a unique podcast that has a mailing address to some extent because it's connected with the shop, people send some things and send some beautiful and lovely gifts. And, you know, you get to enjoy these as soon as they arrive. And because I'm now in Texas, you kind of collect all these up and, you know, you send me basically a care package on almost a monthly basis. And it's something that I kind of look forward to now. I've been doing kind of an unboxing over on our YouTube channel whenever I get a box in, which I think is hopefully a lot of fun for folks. It's always nice to see some names pop up in the live chat from time to time on that. You know, I stumble on names and, you know, English
and just in general as a rule.
You know, it's always kind of a fun little challenge because I always open up the boxes blind, not knowing at all what is in them. But I wanted to share two things that I got in my hand from that particular care package. And one is the pipe can from the Pipery.
Our Country Squire pocket radio logo. Yeah. And it's got the Country Squire radio logo. Aren't those sharp, man? They came out great.
I love it, man. So yeah, so the pocket jar, I got three of them as a gift here. They all bear our logo on it. And man, yeah, these are so cool. They come in a couple of different colors. I was mentioning on the live stream, but I'm really looking forward to next time I travel. I'm just now getting back into the world, just starting to travel again. And now typically whenever I travel with pipe tobacco, unless there's a specific occasion, I generally just bring one blend.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be nice to be able to have a couple of blends to tuck away and
have a variety. Get on the road. Yeah. And even if you just take one, man, what a convenient little package, you know, what a great little carry case. It's it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to our friends at the Pipery. Thank you so much for that. This is also extremely cool. I got a pipe stand from Joshua Sanders. Now, he's a pipe carver. He's got a shop on Etsy. And man, this thing is gorgeous. Yeah. I'm looking at it. I'm holding it right now. And as somebody who has quite a few pipes, and many of which are in rotation, but many of which kind of hold a place of prominence on the shelf, I wish they were in rotation more. But, you know, I'm always looking for new ways to kind of display some of those pipes. And man, this is just a gorgeous stand that he sent in.
I thought it was beautiful. Yeah, I've got one too. Man, just a really, really handsome piece of briar burl, the plateau off of a beautiful piece of briar, and man, turned it into a pipe stand. And I've got it sitting on my desk. And of course, I have the luxury of being able to smoke when I'm at the shop, and it's a real joy. Man, thank you so much, Joshua. I mean, just what a treat. We're tickled to have them.
Absolutely. This is going on my bookcase right behind me as I'm recording. And if you'd like to see all of these things, check out the Country Squire Radio YouTube channel. Like I said, I've been doing some unboxing there and just kind of checking in from time to time. Just note, when it's just me, it's just me. So anything I say, you can't hold John David to or anything like that. You know, occasionally I'm vice versa.
If I ever put anything out there, it's just me. You know,
That's exactly right.
We speak for ourselves.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So, you know, if you ever hear me say, like, oh yeah, well, we're going to do a show about Ewoks or something crazy like that, doesn't mean it's actually going to happen.
It's just Bo. That's just Bo. That's just in Bo's mind, right?
That's right. So anyway, you can check that out there. Look, we still got one last very important piece that we need to get to before we can jump into the topic today. And that is giving a major shout out. We have got three new Squires joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Man, running them down right now. We got Bo Ellis, no relation. I should just make sure that's clear. No relation. Different spelling of the name. Man, shout out to Bo Ellis. Thank you so much for supporting us. We got John Newsom. Dadgummit. This is really difficult to try to mispronounce here. These guys, come on, guys.
Straightforward, man. Straightforward. Loving it.
All right. That's all right. I think our boy Isaac's going to bring us home here. And then a third man, we got Isaac
Babatua.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. Man, Bo, John, and Isaac, we are so grateful for you. It's just amazing. All three joining at the Squire level and hopping in to support our podcast and the Country Squire Radio pipe smoking family. And man, thank you so much. We're just really honored. And a couple of these guys, longtime listeners, friends of the shop, and we're just so, so grateful. So thank you so much, Bo, John, and Isaac. And man, we're grateful for all our patrons and man, making sure this show goes on.
That's right. All right, man. So like I said, we've got a great topic planned for this week. You know, as longtime listeners have kind of pieced together, whenever there's a Squire Select, you can be sure that right around the corner, it's going to be a tobacco talk. That's right. This week, we are doing the thing that a pipe tobacco podcast should do. We are talking pipe tobacco.
Imagine that.
I always love kind of like casting back to the genesis of this series, because originally the concept was there was going to be kind of like a tin tobacco and then also one of the blends of the shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, over time that kind of changed and we kind of mixed and matched. Sometimes it was a couple of blends from the shop. Sometimes a couple of tins. And then finally, we're just like, hey, what do we want to talk about? How do we mix and match? And honestly, it really kind of comes down to the, as we know, as many of us who are graduates of the Training Your Palate series know, we have the professor of the palate here in that John David Cole.
Your graduate certificate is written in crayon, you know?
Dude, I would hang that. Make that. I will hang that in my office. with pride, sir.
Oh, dude. No, man. It is a tobacco talk. Bringing it home today, and we're excited to do that. Yeah, it is funny, you know, just what tobaccos are brought forward. Sometimes it's a tobacco that's making some waves out there. Folks are, you know, finding it interesting. Maybe it's a new blend that has debuted or a limited edition blend. Sometimes it's a blend that sits on the shelf and is kind of overlooked but has some interesting qualities, you know, that we think are worth sharing about. You know, sometimes it's a old school blend that's been around for a long time. We've reviewed things like Escudo and Peterson University Flake and just all kinds of stuff that's been, you know, on the market, obviously, since Dirt. So, yeah, we just we try to mix it up and find some fun things to review every go around. So this week is no different. Got a couple of beautiful tin tobaccos here that I'm excited to crack open with you and explore with you. They are very different tobaccos, so there is something for everyone on this week's Tobacco Talk episode.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it. What we got?
Starting out, man, something from the Cap'n himself. Not Cap'n Crunch, but Cap'n Earl. Captain Earl's Honor Blend. Captain Earl tobaccos, you may be familiar with these series. They come in the kind of Cornell and Deal style sealed biscuit can tin, and just a really fun series, something that's been out for some years now. Captain Earl tobaccos, this series was named after Captain James Earl, who was an extraordinary whaler captain of the SS Charles Morgan. This was like late 19th century, early 20th century, just a very storied individual. And this was inspired, Jay and Louise Jones, who blended pipe tobacco, they founded this and were inspired by, they actually acquired a vintage Meerschaum pipe that was owned by Captain Earl.
Ooh,
and so they started, this 100-year-old pipe, you know, that was owned by this individual. And we're just, you know, kind of did some research on him and on his ship and that kind of thing. And they were like, man, let's name our new tobacco series after him. And just a lot of fun, something unique. Of course, we've talked, you know, ad nauseum about how connected sailing and being on the sea is with the pipe tobacco and pipe history and all that. And so it, you know, fits really well, I think, the whole kind of image of it. The Jay actually died in 2011, so he's been gone for about a decade now. And when that happened, the Jones family partnered with Cornell and Deal to make these blends carry on. And so really nice. There's several blends. They're all crumble cakes, which is really interesting. They're all, some people love crumble cakes, some people aren't crazy about them, but they're all crumble cakes, very well done. They're all non-aromatic, and they all feature orientals, some type of oriental leaf, and then there's a smattering of condimental leaves that kind of assist in the different recipes that you find on the Captain Earl series. So really, really nice, and just a fun thing if you're a non-aromatic smoker to explore. Today, we're looking at the Honor Blend. It has got a picture of Captain Earl there on the side and kind of a seafoam green colored label, just a handsome tin of pipe tobacco, nothing too extravagant or anything. On the back, it says, an all-natural stoved blend of Red Virginias, Mellow Cavendish, Turkish, and Perique tobaccos pressed in an old-fashioned crumble cake, named in memory of Captain Earl's wife, Honor Matthews, a native of New Zealand, whom he wed during one of his ports of call to Diamond Head in Hawaii. So it's named after a woman named Honor.
From New Zealand, who got wed in Hawaii.
Wedded in Hawaii. So there's just a lot going on here. Man, we're just thrilled. No telling. I mean, that just do your own research. I'm sure Miss Honor Matthews Earle was a fascinating woman in her own right. And she, 100 years later, has a tobacco named after her. So that's what we've got. You open the can, and obviously when you pop the seal on the can. By the way, these are manufactured, again, by Cornell and Diehl, so the whole packaging is going to be very reminiscent of anything from them. You pop it open, and it's got the little paper cover in there that you can peel back. You're just greeted by a very nice-looking, probably 1.5-inch square brownie that's very pleasant, kind of a nice honey color with some darker leaf tobacco in there, and it's, of course, a crumble cake. It rubs apart very easily. This is a nice, easy tobacco to work, which some crumble cakes don't, I think, execute that very well. You know, you kind of work these tobaccos, and when you get in there, they're just almost too dry, and so you have to start tearing little pieces apart. And the moisture content here, however they did this, I don't know what kind of moisturing agent they put to, you know, when they press this tobacco, but they did a great job, and it's just really well done. It's nice and spongy, and immediately you're met with just a warm, non-aromatic room note, kind of a tart Virginia room note that you might expect from a vinegary type tobacco. So it rubs apart very nice. It's something that I think is very pleasant. The moisture content there is a little high, seems like, but I think that makes for a great crumble cake. And of course, as part of the object of a crumble cake is to keep things fresher longer. And because of how you rub this apart, it tends to pack pretty easily. This was a very easy tobacco to load into a pipe. I packed it a little lightly when I smoked this particular tobacco, and I think that was good for a number of reasons, but in some sense, this lights and smokes a lot like a flake tobacco, even though mostly this tobacco is ribbon cut in the crumble cake. It kind of does smoke like a flake to some degree. When you light it, it has a very nice false light, and then as you apply the full flame to it, it has that nice puff up of tobacco, little tobacco mushroom cloud kind of thing that happens as the tobacco leaves expand up over the top of the bowl. And it's just very, very pleasant. A nice little puff like your favorite flake tobacco. So thick and creamy smoke, almost similar to something you might get from a Burley, but not containing that. It's just very pleasant mouthfeel. Burns surprisingly cool for something that has, you know, high Virginia content and all that. So tasting notes, immediately off the bat, you are hit with this oak and black pepper. It is a rich, dark tobacco. It's something, particularly on the retrohale. You know, we've discussed retrohale in the past, but, you know, when you are pushing the smoke kind of back through your nose instead of puffing it out your mouth, but we're not talking about inhaling, but pushing it, taking your tongue and raising it to the roof of your palate, and which it kind of forces the smoke to go back through your nasal cavity. And if you do that, you get just this interesting flavor dynamics that you might not get necessarily in your mouth. And so particularly lots of oakiness and woodiness there, along with black pepper, really, really good, very strong. As you go on in the bowl, you get these kind of creeping mushroom flavors. They're kind of starting to come out of the corner a little bit and make themselves known. A little bit of that vinegariness that you might expect for a matured Virginia leaf. And then that natural Cavendish that's in the tobacco as well, it produces this very bready flavor. It's a very like a thick bread. It's just really, really flavorful and toasty. It's pretty great. Second half of the bowl was interesting because it changed a pretty good bit. I actually stayed really lit really well for the first half of the bowl. It fizzled out. I had a little trouble relighting it, but honestly, that's probably more of a user error than anything. Hey, Bo, I don't nearly have the prowess that you have at keeping your pipe lit for a long period of time. We've established that. We all know that. You know, that's a given at this point. And so I did have to relight. And after the relight, I had a little trouble. But that second half of the bowl brought out more of a tangy flavor. I think the Perique was starting to shine. There was a sourness that kind of came, I think, from the Perique and the Turkish leaf there. And the interplay there was very, very interesting between the Perique and the Orientals. It was this kind of sour, sweet, floral back and forth. It was like this little tug of war with these two particular leaves having at it. Very, very good, very complex. It eventually finished with a nice baking spice flavor. I think it just, you know, you got some of that hazel, nutmeg, allspice flavor that was very pleasant there at the end. And I was really surprised by a bit of cinnamon as well. It kind of came through, just a little tinge of that at the very end that made you think of maybe a little Christmas or something. Very good. It's great tobacco, strong, bready, very full. It's a creamy tobacco. The mouthfeel is very thick. Full strength tobacco, the, you know, nicotine content is probably, you know, medium to full on the fuller side. And, you know, it might be one you want to smoke on a fuller stomach. I find after, you know, over the years, I've become more and more nicotine sensitive. You know, I kind of have to watch out. I used to just smoke all these Virginia Periques and, you know, I just pounded this stuff and I probably said so many times, man, how much that is, that strength is really pleasant. But I find myself just as time was going on being more sensitive to that, especially the past couple of years. I don't know what that's about. But one thing I do know about myself and my own routine is that I'd gotten to the point where I don't eat lunch as much anymore. I kind of work through, power through, you know. And so a lot of times if you don't have anything on your belly, it can kind of affect you a little more when you're smoking your pipe. So that might have something to do with it. So this one's a little full. I'd probably recommend a little something on your tummy before you smoke it. But a great all-day smoke if it's something, you know, after a good lunch or something. Tolerable room note. It's not one that your non-smoking friends are probably going to enjoy particularly, but you as a pipe smoker, I think will fall for it. So
so choose your smoking partners accordingly.
Choose your companions accordingly. This is probably not one, you know, if you're trying to convince your wife to, you know, let you smoke in the living room or something, this is probably not the one to make the pitch with, you know. It's definitely not as bad as so many that we've talked about before, but anyway, it's probably not, you know, the next one we talk about would probably be a good candidate for that. So anyway, Captain Earl's Honor Blend.
I gotta ask, you said was it John Otis Earl, is that right?
I think it's just John Earl. Let's see.
Okay, because I found as soon as you started kind of going to his backstory,
yeah,
James
Earl. James Earl, yeah.
James Earl Jones?
Might be 100 years old and may have been a whaler.
Darth Vader was a whaler? Hang on, this changes everything.
It's a whole new tobacco. that we have the the folks at Captain Earl's thought they had something awesome, but now Darth Vader's tobacco blends. I don't know. They're great.
Fascinating. Well, I did find an Honor Earl. That's just such a unique name that I was like, surely there's got to be, like, you don't have a name like that and not like have some kind of Wikipedia page or something. Turns out she was an artist, a post-war artist.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I couldn't find much more than that. But yeah. So if you have one of Captain Earl's pipes and one of Honor Earl's paintings,
you win.
You win. You win this episode of Country Squire Radio for sure.
You sure do.
Well, what you got next?
Okay, so happy to switch it up here today. Of course, sometimes we'll do varying thing and where we throw a little red meat to both aromatic and non-aromatic smokers. And today, happy to talk about Sutliff's Panna Cotta, which is a delicious aromatic tobacco. It's a vanilla tobacco, something that is very readily available. And if you're an aromatic smoker, I behoove you to try this particular blend. Sutliff, owned by Mac Baron. A lot of people don't know that or aren't aware of it. Sutliff Tobacco, in its own right, is an American company and was founded back in 1849, although it's gone through a lot of iterations since then. It was owned by Altadis USA, which is the same company that produces the American Romeo and Juliet and H. Upman and Monte Cristo cigars. But in 2013, it was purchased by Mac Baron and returned to the name Sutliff. And, of course, these are all blended in Richmond, Virginia. And, man, just great, great people that work there. We deal with them weekly and love them and really love to support their company. And they major in delicious aromatic tobaccos and, of course, have the pedigree of the Mac Baron company behind them as well, which is one of the largest and, you know, most storied pipe tobacco blenders in the world. And so we love Mac Baron products, and I find myself, as time has gone on, become more and more fanboys of both these companies. And so the one thing I have to say about Sutliff is whether you like their tobaccos or not, their ingredient leaf is really good. They use good products to make their tobaccos. Knowing that, you just know, you know, that there's a probably something for you in their portfolio. But they do a really good job. Sutliff Panna Cotta. PANNACOTTA. Comes in the typical Sutliff Private Stock 10, which is a larger 10. It's the same concept as the Captain Earl's 10, but a wider 10. You've seen this 10 before if you've ever smoked a can of any of the Seattle Pipe Club stuff, like Plum Pudding or Mississippi River. It's the same exact 10 because it's produced in the same exact factory, and that's kind of the style they use. It's an ounce and a half 10. Even though it's a larger 10, it tends to have an ounce and a half rather than the 2 ounce standard of Cornell and Deal. So it's readily available. Pipe tobacco, very affordable. This retails for under $10, and as most of the private stock aromatics do, just really good. It's you open it up, it's ribbon cut, very moist and highly aromatic. The tobaccos that are in here, on the front of it, it says epitomizes vanilla, of a blend of Burley, Virginia, and Black Cavendish. And when I say, when you open the can and smell, you don't have to be close. you don't have to be sitting right next to this tobacco to appreciate the tin note of it. It is very very aromatic, and it is really, really smells good. It's just a very very beautiful blend, both as a pipe tobacco and as a potpourri. It is just very very aromatic. Makes the room smell great, even not being lit. That's just very nice. So ribbon cut, most of this is a ribbon cut tobacco. It does have a sprinkling of larger thick cut black leaves, which I'm assuming is some type of Cavendish. Of course, the folks at Sutliff, they're mixing it up a lot, and they've got a lot of different things going on in this particular blend. And so you could actually pull all of these little leaves apart and smoke them one by one, or even chew on them one by one, and get a lot of different flavors and tastes. But there is a heavy casing here, or heavy topping on this tobacco. And so the primary note you're going to get from panna cotta is that pleasant vanilla. Extremely aromatic. I had trouble lighting it to begin with. I lit it without drying the tobacco, and that you might want to dry it out some. A lot of tobaccos like this that may or may not have a high propylene glycol content, they their ability to dry out is suspect. You may or may not be able to get this to dry the way you want it, but my thought is that if you let it sit for a little bit before loading it into your pipe, I think that would be it would serve you well if you did that. So once you get it lit, has a fantastic room note, reminds you of Sutliff's very popular tobacco, Creme Brulee, which they make and sell. So you kind of get notes of that in there, although it's certainly a vanilla forward note. It's a little on the cloying side. It's one of those that has an overly sweetness, but I wouldn't say it's overly so. This is a very sweet tobacco. Mm. It's one that, if you like a nice thick tongue coating of vanilla, something where you're eating a rich pudding, I think you're going to enjoy this tobacco. It's decadent. It truly is. It would be in the vein of, something like an Autumn Evening or a Molto Dolce, to a lesser extent, 1Q. If you're an aromatic lover and smoker, I would highly recommend that you check out this particular tobacco. The retrohale is surprisingly pleasant and surprisingly spicy, which I thought was interesting. As you smoke this tobacco and kind of force some of it through your nostrils, it really has a spice note to it, which I found enjoyable as someone that, doesn't smoke a ton of tobaccos like these. It really helped me, enjoy the strength of the tobacco there, and really, really liked that. There's a nice spice. But again, we talked about the user error that comes with having to relight tobacco. I'm sure if Bo was lighting up a bowl of a panna cotta, he would be able to keep it lit for 3 hours and, be able to, he was blow smoke rings in the shape of pirate ships and everything else. But I did have to relight it about 10,000 times. And that's kind of par for the course for some people on more highly aromatic tobaccos. And so not particularly surprising, to be honest, but a very pleasant room note, straightforward vanilla tobacco, and something that, if you appreciate aromatic tobaccos and want something that's really nice and sweet, certainly that's going to be a crowd pleaser if you're sitting on the front patio and have a whole bunch of your friends around and want to impress them with your delicious pipe smoke. man, this is one. This is the one to do it. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, man. Okay. So I'm digging the complexity here and also the gear change that we got with this.
I know, right? It's about as far away as you could get.
All right, good deal. I appreciate the gear change between the two here. And can I just say, panna cotta, what is a panna cotta?
I actually don't know. You know, it's funny. I didn't take the time to figure out what that even meant. Let's see. It appears to be a dessert. It's a type of pudding.
Oh.
There's all kinds of delicious looking panna cotta recipes here that I'm finding. It's Italian for cooked cream. It's a dessert of sweetened cream, thickened with gelatin and molded. The cream may be aromatized with coffee, vanilla, or other flavorings. And of course, that's from the Professor Wikipedia. So,
all right, you know what? All right, so I looked it up real quick. Do you know what this looks like? Like, have you ever been like, it's like one of those like benefit dinners or something like that? Like, or maybe like
one of those rubber chicken dinners that they have at the hotel.
Exactly. Yeah. Like super kitschy type of menu types. This is what they serve me for dessert. Either this or like some carrot cake.
Right. Right. Dude, don't hate on carrot cake now, dude. I'm not hating on carrot cake.
No doubt. Look, I'll crush this. Yeah, no, exactly. Looks great. Same, I'm just saying. I could see both of these like, you know, like every, like, oh, there's like enough for everybody at this table to have one or the other as long as everybody else at this table wants one or the other.
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. That's what we're looking at here.
It says it's the a traditional dessert of northern Italy, particularly the Piedmont region. So that's great, man. I look forward to sometime. I hope I get to try panna cotta.
Well, the pipe tobacco sounds great. And one of the things that, you know, listeners can enjoy is while they're sampling all of these various pipe tobaccos, they want to make sure they're getting all of these different flavors. And, you know, when it comes to quality smokes, when it comes to making sure that you are getting kind of the full experience, there are nobody, I say, that knows better about making sure that you get a quality smoke from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. And of course, as we've talked about in the past few weeks, Missouri Meerschaum has teed it up a little bit more by introducing the Old Dominion Pipe Company into its line of quality products. And so Old Dominion pipes are clay pipes, and they are just beautiful, simplistic pipes. And the reason I like clay pipes as a tobacco blender is because it is the best instrument to smoke tobaccos and get the pure flavor of the leaf itself. I use clay a lot when I'm blending. It's something that as I'm smoking each constituent tobacco, but also the finished product, whether it be version 1 or version 860, it's always best in a clay. And now you can have one too, straight from Missouri Meerschaum. So if you go to their website, there's a whole section of Old Dominion clay pipes that they have. You can buy them singly. You can buy one of each variety they have. And they have combo packs with corncob pipes and their signature pipe tobaccos as well. So check them out. Go to corncobpipe.com and they will ship you Old Dominion clay pipe straight to your front door.
There you go. And hey, if you've got an Old Dominion and you're enjoying it this week, be sure to take a picture of yourself doing so. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Man, pipe question of the week coming in from Pastor Joda. Man, this is a very ironically Star Wars, like not actual Star Wars episode, but a lot of like just barely getting it in there references.
Yeah.
All right, here's what Joda had to say. So we have Darkfire Kentucky, which is a burley, and Latakia, which is an oriental leaf. Why is there not a fired Virginia? All of the old tobacco barns I grew up around down in North Carolina and the south side of Virginia have the fire outside of the barn with the flue running through the barn. So the heat is there, but not the smoke. Mm-hmm. Surely I'm not the first person to consider this, so I imagine there's a reason for it. Congrats on the new edition, John David. And again, that is from Pastor Joda.
Pastor Joda, great question. And I would assume that it has to do with the sugar content of the leaf. Of course, burley is a tobacco that we often see fire cured. And it's a leaf that lends itself more to that because of its, I guess you'd say, physiology. But the closest thing to a fired Virginia would probably be a stoved Virginia. But that's more of a griddle or a kind kind of a roasted effect than it would be exposed to the smoke content itself. Yeah, I think it has to do with, you know, the nature of the leaf and its chemical makeup and cellular properties and all that kind of stuff. What he's mentioning here, Pastor Joda, he's talking about fire cured versus a flu cured. Virginias are often mostly flu cured tobaccos. The idea is you've got heat being exposed to the leaf, but not the smoke. And so there's a difference there. So if you're thinking of the tobacco leaf being hung over a campfire or over a fire, the heat is affecting the leaf, but the smoke is affecting the leaf as well. The smoke particles are actually attaching themselves to the tobacco leaf. In flu curing, which we see with Virginia leaves, the heat is being exposed, but the smoke is not being exposed. The fire is actually off-site, and the heat is kind of funneled in through almost like a furnace. And so the tobacco leaves get exposed to that heat, but not the smoke. And so that's a tradition that goes with that. And I think it just goes with the ability of Virginia leaves to take that on. But you never know, man. There might be some mad scientist out there that is willing to give it a try. And I don't know. We'll see if Jeremy Reeves or Greg Peace or someone wants to get a hold of a bunch of Virginia and put fire to it and see what happens.
God knows the pipe tobacco world is filled with mad scientists, so I'm sure.
I think that's all that's left is just mad scientists, actually. Like, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's great.
Pastor Joda, great question. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, send it in to the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Question. I hope you're hungry because this is like a food and cooking edition.
I'm actually starving. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good thing because this is not going to, you know, induce any of that. So, good.
All right. There we go. All right. So, food, tacos, traditional Mexican or Tex-Mex?
On a taco, I'm going to go with traditional. If I want a taco specifically, yeah, I'm going to go with traditional Mexican. If I want Mexican food in general, like if I just like, hey, I'm feeling Mexican food, I'm thinking Tex-Mex. And I'm thinking it mostly because of two things: cheese dip and margaritas.
That's exactly right.
A basic white girl from the suburbs. Like, I just want cheese dip and margaritas. Like, it's just what I want when I want Mexican food. It's so good. Give me the top shelf margarita with your best tequila and some fresh juice and a whole bucket of cheese dip with some chips and a designated driver to get me home.
I want to affirm that everything that you said is accurate.
Yeah.
Tacos. Yeah. No, tacos. Absolutely. You go traditional with tacos. You don't mess around with tacos. Do them upright. But like, in general, if I'm talking fajitas, burritos, or otherwise, like, I'm making some decisions that I'm planning on regretting the next day, I'm going to go Tex-Mex. This is not about quality. It can be quality, don't get me wrong, but this isn't about, like, that authenticity.
Right.
This is about that, you know,
it's comfort
that,
food.
Getting that greasy food.
It's comfort
food. Yes, exactly.
Food. Right.
And margaritas. All right. Yep. Next up, barbecue, Mongolian or Korean?
Yes, I have a lot of exposure to Korean barbecue, so I'll go with Mongolian. Not that I have a ton of exposure there, but maybe a little more. So, yeah, Mongolian.
All right, Korean barbecue is fantastic, and I don't have a whole lot of experience beyond, like, I've been to one Korean barbecue place. So this one place was fantastic.
Yeah,
and therefore all Korean barbecue must be fantastic. I think it was, but it was a really cool experience. Like, you know, barbecuing right there at the table and everything else.
Yeah.
We did it during kind of a window that we had during 2020 to go out to restaurants. And so it was a little bit different because I think the way it normally worked at this particular restaurant is you would go buffet style, get all your raw meat, bring it back to your table, then, like, you know, barbecue it up right there at your table.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It is pretty cool. But this way you actually did a little bit more like sushi style where you kind of, like, you know, marked what kind of meat you wanted. They'd bring all the raw meat to your table and then you'd, you know, you'd barbecue it up right at the table. It's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to going again, but admittedly, I need to, like, get some running in before you have to plan. And then, all right, next up, seafood, Italian or Greek?
So I'll go with Greek. Jackson, you know, for a small town that it is, we actually have a relatively sizable Greek population here. It's kind of weird. It's something that happened in the 1930s. Several people immigrated from a couple specific parts of Greece. And then when they did, I guess, told their buddies about it back home. And then they they came over and they were all in the restaurant industry. We just have, over the history of our city, just a lot of good Greek, or good restaurants that were run by Greek families and had that twist on it. And so, just kind of one of those strange things that happened in our part of the country. It was really cool. And of course, I know some of the history of that because I'm friends with our local Greek Orthodox priest who is a pipe smoker and a good friend of the shop. But yeah, so I'll go with Greek. I just probably have a little more exposure to that too. I love Italian food as well. But if we're talking seafood, yeah, let's Greek it up.
I agree. I mean, Greek is fantastic. I got to choose Italian though. In general, my experience cooking there. But I will say this, or ask you this, Bill's Greek Tavern. I don't think it's there anymore,
now
but do you know what I'm talking about?
Now closed. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure is.
That was a unique place.
I think Mr. Bill actually passed away. I think it's been about a year and a half ago now. Yeah.
Man, is that right? Man, are you kidding? I had no clue.
All these Greek places, man. Yeah. And Mr. Bill, I think is no longer with us, but the folks that owned the Elite, that has now closed.
Yeah.
But we've still got the... still got the Mayflower, still got Crochelle's. A lot of the old families are still Primo's, of course, still in business. And so,
well, plus you got a bunch of like newer places too that have popped up.
Yeah, Yaya's Kitchen, man, dude. I went to Yaya's Kitchen with Father Andy, and he was a celebrity, man. It's Padre, you know. They set him up like that's didn't pay for a thing. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh man,
it was great.
You got the hookup. All right, good deal. All right, so that was food. Now we're talking cooking methods.
Here, all right, let's breeze through this.
Hit them out quick. Here we go.
Yep.
Baked or fried?
Fried.
Baked in general, fried when my wife's not looking. Stew or soup?
Soup.
Stew. Got to keep it chunky. That's good that way. Roasted or grilled?
I'm gonna go grilled, but by hair.
That's a trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a trick question. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That's the quick fire questions for this week. If you've got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send them into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Man, we got some listener feedback in. This first one comes in from James D. Schaefer. These are thoughts on the McClelland episode. He says, this was the best podcast I have ever experienced.
Wow.
I'm an old man now, age 73. However, I learned so many things from this program. If I could ever meet Mike, I would never ask him the why of things, but look at him and say, in the wise words of Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. So... is he happy with his difference? Never judge. Let him be his story with his ending, not ours. By the way, I stopped by the Squire some 2 years ago while on vacation to the Gulf and picked up an order of Esoterica tobacco. Last time that I beat the bot user.
Which is pretty hard.
Yeah, that's great. And that's from James.
Oh, James, thank you, man. We appreciate you chiming in there. And, man, good feedback. Yeah, you know, when we do get Esoterica tobaccos, there are people, you know, that create these. We may have some listeners that do this. I don't know. But there are people that create these computer programs that go out and constantly search for this stuff. And when they see a bag of Ramsgate or Peace Haven pop up on the internet somewhere, it goes and tries to auto buy like, you know, 48,000 of them. And so, man, James, we've gotten most of that weeded out of our website. A lot of that now we've kind of taken care of, but occasionally you see that. But James, that day, James beat him and beat him to the punch. So that's great.
Well done, James. At the young age of 73, beating out the bots. I love to hear it.
Yep.
All right, man, this next one is coming in from Angel, and this is what Angel had to say. Hey, John, David, and Bo, I'm sitting here enjoying some of the shepherd's pie that I picked up on my pilgrimage. It is super tasty, and I'll have to purchase some more from the shop. That being said, I just wanted to thank John, David, and the gentleman at the shop for the great hospitality when I visited. I was a little nervous being there at first, but was put right at ease once Dominique turned his attention to me. Getting to meet John David in person was a real treat, and I'm honored that he gave some of his time to me. He recommended some cigars as well as took care of the pipe tobacco I wanted to try. I'm super appreciative of the couple of gifts he gave me as well. Next visit, I will definitely make the time to chill out in the lounge with y'all. All the best, and thank you. And again, that is from Angel.
Oh, man. Angel's pilgrimage was so cool. I was really, like, busy that day. It was this blur, but this kind lady walked in. She was real quiet, and I was like, can I help you, ma'am? And she was on her pilgrimage, and it was just great. She was heading to the beach, I think, to hang out and just kind of get away from home a little bit, and swung through Jackson to spend some time with us at the Squire, and it was just really, really wonderful to get to know her a little bit. And Angel, I know you've started supporting our show, and you know, now are obviously smoking our tobaccos and everything, but we're just really grateful for you. It's a real honor, and we hope you enjoy the shepherd's pie going forward. And yeah, if you're ever passing back through our sleepy little town, come hang out. We'd love to see you.
You know, I've often thought of the shop as a holy place, but it really says something when even the angels are taking a pilgrimage there.
God, no. That's a good point.
Man, that's awesome.
Even when the angels take their pilgrimage to the country.
That's choir, great. Yeah, that's great, man.
Angel, thanks. That's awesome, girl.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go one more in here. This is coming in from Caleb Frankert, who said, I just finished the How to Train Your Palate Part 1. The part about smell and the connection to memories got me thinking about why I just started smoking a pipe in the first place. Or rather, why I started smoking a pipe in the first place. Years ago, when my wife's grandfather passed away, I remember the family reminiscing about shared stories. A favorite memory was gathering together on Christmas Day and being welcomed by the scent of Grandpa's pipe lingering in the den. So I picked up the pipe and tried to recreate some memories. After some digging, I found that the only blend that he smoked was London Dock. Over the years, I've picked up some of the old stuff. Some was completely unsmokable. Some was very, quote, Lakelandy, and some just tasted and smelled like Prince Albert. Whatever I tried missed the mark. After researching, I found that the blend went through many changes over the years, which explained the inconsistencies in what I found. But a few years ago, Daughters and Brian introduced the blend, so I thought I would give it a try. Without telling my wife what I was doing, I packed a bowl and lit it up with her in the same room. Immediately, I could see the memories and emotions rushing back. That's Grandpa's pipe, she said.
Wow.
She still gets emotional when I smoke it. Unfortunately, it's not often, as it's been discontinued yet again, and my supply is dwindling. Sorry for the long-winded email, but it just struck me how much of an impact this little hobby of ours has sometimes.
Oh, that's precious.
Yeah, the fact that a simple smell can trigger so many great memories and emotions is amazing. Mm. I probably would have never started smoking a pipe without them. If you can think of any replacements for this blend, let me know, as the search is back on. Keep up the great work. I can't wait to hear the rest of the series. Thanks, your pal in pipes, Caleb.
Man, what a great man email, Caleb. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is awesome, man. I'm sorry about the disappointment of finding that perfect match for London Dock, of course, put out by Daughters and Ryan, and now it's unavailable again. But man, we need to see if there's a way we can reverse engineer that or something, because it sounds like it had a really powerful impact on you guys. I may have shared this story before on the show. I can't remember, but a very, very vivid memory of, one of the first few years I was working at the Squire. This older lady walked in, and I could tell she was kind of weepy, very, pretty emotional. And she said her husband was a pipe smoker, and that she just needed to smell him.
Oh man. Wow.
Dude, it crushed my heart, man. He had passed away the year before, and she just needed to have that smell. And so I poured her a cup of coffee, and she sat across the tobacco bar from me, and she asked, I let her smell a few jars, and she picked one out, and I lit it up and smoked it right there with her. And just the flood of emotions that went over her face. Yeah. It was breathtaking. I'll never forget that. I will never forget that. It was kind of an honor, to be honest with you. So anyway, the power of smell, man, going right into that memory receptor part of your your brain and just, wow, how powerful it can be. That's awesome.
Whew. I feel like that in and of itself could be an episode, like putting it out to the listeners, yeah. Like what are some memories that you have from childhood attached to a particular pipe tobacco smell? Maybe it's one that you recognize a particular blend of, or, you know, it just might be granddad or, who knows, maybe grandmom's, pipe tobacco that you walk through the door, yeah, and get, you know, I don't know. If you've got some stories like that, share them with us. If we collect enough, we might do an episode about it. So.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, yes, that is going to do it, I think, for this week. We want to let the good folks know they can keep up with us throughout the week. They can follow you at John David Cole or the shop at _CountrySquire. Of course, all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, it's always great to do a tobacco talk and kind of dive into the good stuff that is available to folks.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's always good to find some new favorites and some new things to put in the rotation. And a lot of times, too, there's just so much on the market, I can't smoke them all. And so it's fun to crack open something I've never had and, give you my initial thoughts. And so, man, it's good stuff. Hope you enjoy the Panna Cotta and the Honor Blend from Captain Earl's if you ever get to try.
There you go. And hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.